Hallelujah. If you have your Bibles, you can turn to John chapter 8 and verse 31. Hallelujah. Praise God. He is faithful.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Praise God. Father, help us tonight. We're just so grateful and so thankful to be in your presence in this church together as one. One accord, one mind, and one heart. Praising you and pressing after you, Father. Lord, we thank you for all that you've made available to us through your word. We don't take it lightly. And so, Father, help us to say what needs to be said. Lord, do what you want done in this service. Father, we know it's an opportunity for change. It might seem like a normal Wednesday night in South Dayton, New York, but we know that we're here to get something good from you. And, Father, I just thank you for what we're about to receive. And we'll give you the praise and the glory for it. In Jesus' name, amen. You know, after praising and worshiping like that, you know, you can sense the anointing. And things starting to get stirred up. And you know, sometimes I'm worshiping him, but you see things, you know, and you know that people struggle and stuff. I remember even just Sunday morning seeing somebody in the congregation. You could tell that the weight of the world was on them. And they're just standing there during worship, and they're not worshiping God. And I think they just don't understand that if you will do what the Word says in his presence. And the Bible says that he inhabits the praises of his people. One of the quickest ways you can jump over from the flesh into the presence of God is through praise and worship. Because it takes your attention off of yourself and your stuff, and it puts it on him. And if you'll just do that at home and take that little chorus and just sing that over and over, the presence of God and the anointing will fall in your living room, in your bedroom, in your shower, wherever it is, in your car. And things will start to break off you, and things will start to be revealed. And I'm ministering to myself right now, you know, and just say that to myself. You know, there's times you just get down. There's times when life is heavy and the devil throws things at you. But man, we got the answer. We know too much to wallow around in defeat. Praise God. So take me at my word, would you? You know, Isaiah 61:3 says, "The garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness." Why? Because when you praise, you're in God's presence and the fullness of joy comes in it. It kicks out the heaviness and brings in the joy. Praise God. Praise God. Well, John chapter 8 and verse 31. This is part two of last Wednesday. I got to share this, the first part of this in Allegheny last night. It was so grateful to be able to do that. In John chapter 8 and verse 31, Jesus said to those Jews which believed on him, "If you continue in my word, then you are my disciples indeed." Verse 32, "And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." And we saw about that, right? Where our freedom is not when the healing shows up. Doesn't say, "And you shall be healed in your body naturally, then you shall be set free." Freedom does not come when the money's in the account, when the situation turns, when all the ducks are now in a row and your T's are crossed and your I's are dotted, then freedom comes. No, you see, that's a good thing, because the manifestation we know in the Word of God sometimes takes time and patience. And we don't have timelines on manifestations. We have promises on them, but we don't have a calendar date on them. We have as a word, and that's enough. We know it's going to happen. But if we had to wait for the manifestation, we'd live a lot of times in our life not free. And Jesus said, "My yoke is easy, my burden is light." That sounds like freedom. And so in the midst of the sickness, in the midst of the financial despair and the situations that you're in, he expects you to be free, but freedom depends on knowing some things, right? And we saw last Wednesday, knowing the truth, not being able to quote scriptures, not being able to say, "Well, yeah, Pastor Mike said this during his financial test and trial, so I'll say the same thing." That's not knowing the truth. Because we saw what that word "know" means, isn't it? It's the same word that Mary used when she was talking about having a baby, right? She said, "How can this be so? I've not known a man." Well, Mary knew men. She knew men in the terms of, I know Jack, I know Joe, I know Jim, you know, all the J's. She knew all the J's. That's who she knew because she's marrying Joseph, so I figure she knew all the J's, I guess. But she knew them, but the Bible's talking about a relationship of a husband and a wife, knowing a man to have a baby, and that's how you have a baby, by knowing in that way. And so we saw, well, what does that mean with the Word? How are we supposed to know the Word that way? Well, when a husband and wife know each other in that way, God looks at that as one, coming together, not separate, but coming together as one. And so what he's saying to us, and to kind of wrap this review up as quick as we can, is that we need to know the Word like that. Become that intimately acquainted with the Word where we become one with it. We're not separate from the Word. There's not the Word, and then there's us. That's why people don't ever get set free, because they see themselves as being separate from this. The Word says they're healed, but they say they're not, because they're symptoms. And so they become one with their symptoms, and they've become one with the doctor's reports, and they've become one with their feelings, but the Bible says that they're healed. And to get free, you got to become one with it, where the symptoms don't matter anymore. And same with finances. God calls us supplied, provided for, and rich. But people don't see themselves as that because the numbers don't line up, because the checkbook doesn't line up. And they say, I'm not rich, I'm actually broke, I can't pay my bills. Well, you've become one with the circumstances. You've become one with the numbers. That's not how you become free. The way you become free is knowing or becoming intimate, becoming one with the truth. We saw an example of this in the Bible, what it looks like. Abraham, at first, was intimate with his symptoms, with his body, with science, with opinions, with what his wife looked like and how her body was reacting, and age and numbers, right? Because at first God said, you're going to have a baby who's about 75 years old, and him and his wife laughed at God. Why? They were more intimately acquainted or one with the natural. And then Sarah and him went out and did their own way, didn't they? And they found a younger woman by the name of Hagar, and then they had a baby with Hagar. So that's how I'm going to have a baby. We'll bring in a younger woman whose body still works, because this is certainly the only way we can have it. Well, why? They weren't intimately acquainted with the Word. But when he got set free, it was in Romans 4, in verse 17 down through verse 20 or 21, where it says, Abraham considered not his own body now dead, being 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb, but he was fully persuaded that what God had said he would do. He became one with the Word. What do I mean? God said, you're going to be a daddy. And Abraham, regardless of what his body said, regardless of what the numbers said, regardless of what his symptoms said, or his calendar said, or the womb of Sarah said, or what science said, he said, I'm a daddy. My new name's Abraham, father of many nations. But where's the son? God's going to make him come to pass, because I've become one with the Word. That's how we get set free. Your freedom comes not at the manifestation. Your freedom comes when you become one with the Word. Amen? And that's why people never see freedom. Because before the manifestation, you need to become free and one with the Word before the manifestation. Abraham became one with the Word before the manifestation ever showed up. And so many people are saying, well, I'll identify myself as healed when my body feels like it. When my checkbook says it, then I'm rich. When I actually have the baby, then I'll consider myself a parent. When I actually find that spouse, then I'll consider myself a wife or a husband. That's not how he does things. Your God rolls a little different than we do. See, because he already lives in your manifestation. He's already been to the manifestation and back. He lives in all time. So when he called Abraham a dad, in God's world, he was a dad. Why? Because God lives in the future just as much as God lives in the past and God lives in the present. Amen. Amen. So we got to start seeing things like he does. Praise God. And the truth will set you free. Hallelujah. Praise God forevermore. So we need to focus on the truth then. Hallelujah. Well, if it's the truth that makes you free, then it must be lies that hold you in bondage. Right? And we know this, that the enemy is a deceiver. We looked at some of these verses, but let's just look at them again for review for us. Go to John 8:44. We're already in John chapter 8. Because if the truth sets you free, and that's the tool. See, God has a tool to use to set you free. It's called the Word of God, the truth. Well, we know this, the devil comes to steal, kill, and destroy. The devil's not come to set people free. The devil's come to bind you in what? Sickness, poverty, disease, discouragement, hopelessness, despair, depression, anxiety, fear, worry. And the only way he's going to use it, if truth sets you free, and the devil's the opposite of God and the opposite of truth, guess what he's going to use to attempt to keep you in bondage? He's going to use deception. And the very nature of him is such that you are of your father the devil, and the lusts of your father you will do. He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth. He didn't live in the truth. Because there is no truth in him. When he speaks a lie, he speaks of his own. For he is a liar and the father of it. 2 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 14. The devil's a liar. 2 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 14. And no marvel, because in before it talked about false apostles, false ministers. He said, don't marvel at that, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. What's that word transforming? Disguised. He's a deceiver. He likes to disguise, praise God. Revelation 12 and verse 9. Whew. Glory to God. Yeah, God is good. The devil's a liar. Revelation 12 and verse 9 says, and the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. You see that? He's a devil of deception. So if God uses truth to set free, and the devil doesn't want you set free, he wants you kept in bondage, then if truth sets you free, the devil's going to have nothing to do with truth. Why? Because that, if you get close to truth, you get close to being set free. So he's going to go all the way to the opposite of truth, which is what? A lie. Deception. That's what he uses. Now, go with me real quick to Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 27. Now, this is written to Christians, and look at what he admonishes them and tells them to do. Neither give place to the devil. Don't give him place. What's that mean? He's got to have a placemat set for him to join the table that you're at. Amen. Because you have the tool to keep him out. You do. Neither give place to the devil. He wouldn't tell the Christian that you can take authority and charge over the devil from coming in if the devil could just do whatever he wanted to you. He needs an entry point. Well, here's how you give place to the devil. I'm going to tell you right now and show you in the Word. The only way you give place to the devil is when you listen to him. That's it. He has no other power but the power of suggestion. Amen. I'll show you this in the Bible. Go to 1 Timothy 4 and verse 1. These two messages will keep you safe and set you free. Praise God. 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 1. He says, don't give place to the devil. What's the devil? He's a liar. What's he going to use? Deception. Well, how's he going to get to deceive you if you listen to him? It says in 1 Timothy 4, 1, now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith. Now I'm going to tell you what that word faith means there in a second. It'll bring this out even clearer to you, what it says there about it in the Greek. But it says some will depart from the faith. That means to depart from the faith. If I'm going to say I'm departing from Walmart, that means I was at Walmart. I'm departing from 213 Pine Street tonight. That tells people I was there at some point today. If people depart from the faith, that means at one time they were there. Now, how did they depart from the faith? They gave heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. See that there? How in the world was one in the faith and then departed from it? Because they listened. They paid attention. They gave an ear to the deceiver. Right? And what happens when the deceiver gets a hold of you? He puts you in bondage. And the only way it can happen is if you keep listening to him. Hallelujah. Now, that word there, depart from the faith. That word in the Greek, if you look it up, means this. The truthfulness of God. Truth itself. Spirit speaks expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the truthfulness of God. Some shall depart from truth itself. Well, we know that. How? Because they gave heed to the exact opposite of truth. The seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. So when it says to depart from the faith, people get the idea, well, I know people, because there's been people that have left this church that have departed from the faith, but yet they'll still claim Jesus is their Lord and Savior, and they'll still go to heaven. Doesn't mean they've departed from believing in Jesus, but they've departed from the truthfulness of God. They bash faith now. They bash healing. Healing doesn't work. Faith doesn't work anymore. The prosperity message doesn't work anymore. Well, what have they done? Departed from the truthfulness of God, which is the Word. How? They gave heed. We've had people that have believed God for things that didn't happen in an amount of time in their mind that would satisfy their mind. And so then they bashed the faith message. Well, faith doesn't work then. But what about the patient side of faith? What about if God promised it, He'll come to pass? But they depart from that. Right? People that we preach on prosperity and they're broke as can be. Well, that can't be true. It's a false church. Teach that because my experiences don't line up with what you're preaching. Well, if I'm preaching the Bible and you'll do the Word, it'll come to pass for you. But they depart from the truthfulness of God. They still might love Jesus, still confess Him as their Lord and Savior. They're not saying, now some have gotten so far to actually depart from the whole thing, but that's a rare thing. Most people don't give up on Jesus, but they forget that Jesus is His Word. And when you give up on prosperity, and you give up on healing, and you give up on faith, and you give up on the doctrines in the Bible, you are in essence giving up on Him. But how does it happen? Because the truth sets us free. So when the devil talks to people and gets them to go away from the truthfulness of God, go away from truth itself, they're walking away from the very thing that keeps them free, walking towards a place of bondage. Hallelujah. How do we stay safe from it? Don't listen to him. It's so simple, yet so profound to people. If we don't listen to him, he can't hurt us. It's that simple. If we won't listen to his garbage and his lies, in which I'll teach you how to do that, he can't hurt you. I've told many of you the story. You know this story. You've heard this before. But Paul said it's not grievous for me to write the same things to you. For in doing so, it keeps you safe. And as a young boy, I had someone in my life. I won't go into detail because I never want to completely out people, you know, that's not my heart. But I was a young boy and, you know, like in middle school age. And I had someone in my life who was so big in my eyes. They were a Division I college athlete and they would come to the house often and show off their skills and things. And it was just impressive. And they went on to graduate and become quite big in the financial arena in the Buffalo area. And actually, you know, if you know me as a young boy, I was one of the, if you're going to look at a pie chart of Pastor Mike Anderson's childhood, the Buffalo Bills would take up a big chunk of that. That was my life, you know, season tickets, just loved the Bills so much. And he lived in some of the complexes of the housing developments where they lived, and that was about the only thing that was true, but he lived there, and so he would have some of their accounts, some of the Sabres accounts. He was a financial investor and dealt with their money, and I'd see him with pictures with some of the, you know, biggest guys that I'd looked up to, you know, and on the team, and watched on television, watched at the field when I would go. And anyways, he would come down, and he would come down to hunt with us, on opening day especially. And I don't know if he knew he had a young guy that had stars in his eyes when I saw him. You know, he was a celebrity to me, even though he was just close in the family. But he was a celebrity to me because of how good he was at sports, his all around these people, you know. And he worked that. And I remember before hunting, he called me up and told me that he was bringing Thurman Thomas. And I'd seen him in pictures of Thurman Thomas before. So it was a little bit of truth mixed in there. Well, Thurman Thomas, if you don't know, is a Hall of Fame running back for the Bills, one of the best running backs ever, and one of the best Buffalo Bills ever. And he's bringing Thurman Thomas, and I just remember the night before hunting season was already like Christmas Eve for me. Couldn't sleep, you know, and now it got even better. Because Thurman Thomas is going to hunt, and this is the truth. Back then, you know, I don't know if he does now, but Thurman used to wear real shiny earrings. And all I could think about was, is Thurman going to take those earrings out to hunt? I thought, boy, the deer, they're going to see those shiny things, and I don't know if I have it in me to tell them, Thurman, you need to take those out. And that's what I thought about all night long, you know, and woke up next day, waited for him to pull in. He pulled in with his nice, I don't know, he drove some, I think it was a Saab, some real expensive fancy car, you know, and pulled in, and he's coming inside alone, and where's Thurman? Oh, he had some excuse. But don't worry, we'll get him back here. Well, this happened about three times, and they never showed up. Just broke my heart as a young boy, you can imagine, you know. And well, then he got wind of some of the music I like and would take me to some concerts. He took me to two concerts. And both of these concerts, he told me, because I'd seen him in pictures with bands and stuff that come, because he was a big shot in the Buffalo area, the Buffalo scene. And he took me to concerts, and he told me that we had backstage passes, and I was going to meet the band. You know, this is before Jesus, so not bands I would recommend now, but back then I was big into him, you know, and told me we were going to meet the band, and we'd have front row tickets. Both times I remember him walking me to the third level at what was HSBC Arena, and the stage looked like, and people looked like little ants, and I thought to myself, this ain't the front row. Well, we must just, I don't know what happened, we must be going backstage. We didn't go backstage after. He took me actually as a young boy to the bars, which, because he could get in and stuff. It just didn't end up being a very good person. But I got wise finally. And about after five, six times of him absolutely crushing my hopes, I got wise and thought, how stupid am I to listen to a liar? The only reason he has power to hurt me is because I've chosen to give heed to what the liar says to me. And as soon as he started, and he would always tell me next time, and I remember the last time it happened, and I got wise, and I thought, I'm on to him now. I got older, realized, could see some things in his life, you know. And I remember driving home on the thruway with him, and he said, oh, next time he had some lie. And I remember it didn't touch me, and I just laughed to myself. I said, sure, can't wait. And it didn't bother me anymore. Why? And didn't hurt me anymore. I stopped listening to him. And the only way the devil can hurt you is if you'll listen to his garbage and not listen to truth. And he'll use believable things. I mean, he had pictures of these people and his house, and he lived and would show me, hey, that's where so-and-so lives. And you'd see him getting out of their vehicle and going into their house and things. And the devil will use little things that he can grab onto and believable things to get you to bite at hook, line, and sinker. But we've been given a tool to not walk around as ignorant little lambs for the slaughter of the enemy. We have been given the word, the sword of the Spirit, to keep us free. Praise God. And listening to the devil will hurt you and is dangerous. I don't have time to turn there, but think about the greatest deception there ever was. It happened in the Garden of Eden. The greatest transfer of power took place in that garden. God had given dominion and authority to Adam and Eve. It says so in the Word. He says, behold, I give unto you dominion over everything that I've created. Over everything on the earth, it's yours. Here's the keys to planet Earth. Well, the devil was already on the earth, you know. He had been cast down who knows how many years beforehand. Remember when Jesus said, I beheld Satan fall from lightning? Well, Satan was out. This might answer some questions. But Genesis chapter 1, verse 1, and Genesis chapter 1, verse 2, who knows how many millions and millions of years. If the people think the world's only 6,000 years old, you are mistaken. Amen. The dinosaurs did not live from Adam and Eve until now. I'm sorry to tell you, they didn't. They were pre-Adam and Eve, okay? Science proves that, and so does the Bible. Because the Bible says that in the beginning, the world, the earth, It was without form and void. That word void means a distinguishable ruin. God doesn't create distinguishable ruins. God is a God of perfection and light. But what happened? God created the earth, but then sometime way before 6,000 years, the devil was cast down to the earth. Well, the devil's darkness. And when the devil came down to the earth, that's when darkness and the void and the distinguishable ruin happened. So the devil's already here, and then God says, it's time to change some things. I want creation. Amen? Makes Adam and Eve. The devil's already here, and he tells them, he says, I give you authority over every creeping thing. Well, a snake's a creeping thing. He even said, guard the garden, which means, hey, there's something coming up along here to try to take this away from you. Amen? And so, here's Adam and Eve. God has no power anymore. He's given it to his creation. And the devil comes knowing this is up for grabs. Now, we know now by the New Testament, 2 Corinthians 4 and verse 4, Satan is the god of this world. In Luke chapter 4, when Jesus was being tempted in the garden, the devil talked about how it was handed to him. All the power and glory of the whole world, the earth, was handed to him or delivered to him. When was it delivered to him? In the Garden of Eden. So, a great transfer of power happened. But how did it happen? The devil didn't use natural force. The devil doesn't have natural force. Now, he can do some things, but he needs deception to play along with it to work his power. And so, what did he do? He came along. There was truth spoken, wasn't there? What did God say? Eat everything but one tree. You eat that tree, you're dead. That's what he said. You'll die. That was truth. What was that truth meant to do? Keep them free. What did the devil come and say? What, has God said you can eat of every tree but the one? He said, yeah, God did say that. He said, but God said, and they were Eve was talking to him, yeah, but if we eat this one, we'll die. And what's the devil then say? You won't die. Truth said you will. Untruth, or the deceiver said, you won't die. Well, what should they have done in that moment? I'm not going to listen to a liar. God's truth, why would I even entertain this? But they entertained it, didn't they? And he went on further and said, God didn't want you to eat it because he knows in the day you do, you'll become like gods, knowing good and evil. Now he upped the stakes and said, if you eat this, not only are you not going to die, you're going to be in a better position than you ever were. You're going to be like a god. Oh, they started thinking, entertaining, taking heed. Right? To the liar. And the only way the devil can deceive you is if you listen to him. And they listened to him. And what they do? They did exactly what he said to do. And now we know by the New Testament, that sheds the light on the Old Testament, that the Bible says in Romans chapter 6, whom you yield yourself to obey, you've become their servant to obey. Whether it be sin unto death or under doing the right under righteousness. And what they choose? Devil, you're my leader now. We're listening to you. Well, the transfer of power happened in the garden. No longer did Adam and Eve have dominion. And from that moment, what do we start seeing happen in the garden? Death came in. All these things. God never intended for there to be prickers and briars and sweat of the brow and all this stuff that happened and labor, childbirth being so hard and painful and the rigmarole that is, and death entered in and people's lifespans started getting shorter, and then Cain killed Abel and it all went to heck. Yeah. Yeah. That's right. From listening to the enemy. And I see it all the time. I've seen it in my own life. I see it all the time. People turn their attention away from truth and start listening to the lies of the enemy. And slowly by slowly, they start getting into a bondage and a stronghold and a grip, and danger sets in. Jesus warned us. Go to Mark 4:24. Mark 4:24. These are the kind of messages that set us free and keep us safe. My question is, why isn't the whole church here tonight? They all got the slick text. Now, I know people can't. I know there's probably some people that physically can't be here, but I know there's a lot that physically could. We give such little, I don't mean we, because you're here, you're doing it, but we give such little precedence to that which is vital in our lives. And such time and attention and detail to things that mean nothing. Mary and Martha. Martha running around like a chicken with her head cut off. Stuff to do, no doubt. Mary in Martha's own home dares to sit at Jesus' feet and hear the word. Martha, all mad and complaining, goes to Jesus and says, Lord, aren't you going to do something about my lazy, lackadaisical, taking advantage of me sister? We're in my house. The drapes need clean, the carpet needs clean, the windows need washed, the dishes need done, and she dares in my house while I'm doing all this work to sit and hear your word? And Jesus said, Martha, there's one thing that's needful. And Mary chose what it was. Which was what? Separating yourself to hear the word of God. Hallelujah. Doesn't my Amish contractor know I'm preaching right now? Jonas Jr. I'm going to give him an earful. I'm telling you. He knows Wednesday nights where I'm at. I forgot. They don't have cell phones. They don't know how this works, probably. Mark 4:24, and he said unto them, take heed what you hear. The Amplified says, be careful what you hear. Be careful what you're listening to. Why? Your ears are your faith gates. Be careful what thoughts you entertain. Be careful what voices you entertain. I'm always amazed. I'm just always amazed. It just dumbfounds me. Some of the people who some people go to for advice and help. They go to people for money help who are struggling and have been struggling financially for years and years, and they go and ask them what they should do with their money. Why would you listen to a failure? Well, I'm going to relationship advice for somebody that's had 6 divorces. Now, if you've had a divorce, I'm not coming against you. We know at times that there's things that it takes 2 to tango. And things happen. But I wouldn't go to somebody that had 6-7 divorces and say, can you help me with my marriage? Would you? Good Lord. Somebody who kids don't respect their parents, have no honor for their parents, have just do whatever they want. I'm going to go to them for parenting advice. Durr. And people do it. Why? Because they don't listen to what Jesus said. He said, be careful what you're hearing. Be careful what you're hearing. Hallelujah. Glory to God. And he said, if you know the truth, you'll be set free. Remember how we said that we know that, because the Bible said to become intimate, like a husband and wife with the word. How do you know that a husband and wife know each other? Children are proof. Right? Children are proof that coming together happened. And we said last week, how do we know that you become one with the word? When there's birth. What's the birth? Faith. When faith's been birthed, what's faith? You are convinced. Abraham became one with the word and faith was birthed where he was convinced, I'm a dad regardless. That's what faith is. A belief regardless. A fully persuasiveness regardless. That's when you know you've become intimate and one with the word. Amen? And we saw, how do you do that? Remember 2 Peter 1:19? It said, we have a more sure word of prophecy as a light that shineth in a dark place. Give heed to it as a light that shines in a dark place. What's that mean? If all the lights were to go out, we were to block off all the seams and the doors and everything, and it was black in here, so black you couldn't see anything, and I lit a lighter, everybody's eyeballs would go to that lighter. That's where the attention would be. And the Bible says in 2 Peter 1:19, to give heed to the word like a light that shines in a dark place. What's that mean? Laser focus on the word. Until what happens? The day star rises in your heart. Well, what's the day star rise in your heart? That's just simply Romans 10:17 happening. Hearing and hearing the word equals faith being birthed in your heart. Amen. Well, if it works the good way, guess what happens when you give heed to deception as a light that shineth in a dark place. You see, do people really do that? Oh, all the time. You'll never be healed. You'll never be healed. You'll never be healed. Oh, I guess I'm not going to be healed. It's been so long. And you can tell they're giving heed to that. Well, my bills, and I keep looking at the numbers in my checkbook and all, and it's worried. They're giving heed to that as a light that shines in a dark place. Listen to the deception. Well, if something's birthed listening to the wrong or the right things, something can be birthed listening to the wrong things. And this is where the danger comes in. Because Jesus knows if you listen enough, something will be born. And you better be careful what's birthed in you. Because you can have belief and faith just as much in the wrong things as you can in the right things. Now, when you do it for the good things, it's called faith being birthed. What the devil wants to birth in you is a stronghold. And if you give heed long enough, what's a stronghold? It's something strongly holding you or gripping you or keeping you in bondage, the opposite of freedom. Amen? Go to 2 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 3. Woo-hoo. 2 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 3. It's how the devil works. It's how the devil works. Glory to God. Second Corinthians 10 and verse 3. And I just feel the need to say this because I know how the devil can work with condemnation. I know people in the body of Christ within our churches that it was right and well in God's plan for them to get a divorce, just so you know. Okay? You need to know that because there are places that teach that divorce is not warranted under any circumstance, and it's bondage and it's lie and it's not biblical. Amen? So there are people that have had to get a divorce and it was God's plan that absolutely would be good people to get counsel from. That's not what I'm talking about. You understand what I'm talking about? Yes. Amen? Hallelujah. I just need to say that because the devil will use anything he can to make people feel bad about themselves. And he's a liar. And just so you know, even if you screwed up your marriage and that's why you get a divorce, God says to ask me to forgive you and I will, and it's over like it never even happened. So, fooey fooey on you, devil. That's just the truth. I'm not just saying it to make you feel good about yourself. I'm telling you the truth. 2 Corinthians 10 and verse 3 says, "For though we walk in the flesh, we don't war after the flesh. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal." Now notice this. He says, we have weapons, they're not carnal, but they're mighty through God to the or for the. That word to the means for the, or the reason we have weapons is for this reason. So, if he's going to give you a weapon, he's going to tell you what that weapon is for, and when he tells you what the weapon's for, it tells you then what the enemy's goal is, right? Because God's going to give you a weapon to combat that which the enemy's trying to get you into. It says, the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the or for the pulling down of strongholds. So the enemy's goal is to get you in a stronghold. What is that? Bondage. Chains, held back, opposite of freedom. Now, how do we pull these strongholds down, keep them from happening? Tells us in verse 5. Casting down imaginations. What's that mean? Not letting your mind run wild. We all need help in this area. I mean, think about it. You get a symptom in your body. My mind, when I get symptoms in my body, doesn't go to the least worst thing that could happen. My mind jumps me to my deathbed. Does anybody else's? When I get financial trouble coming, my brain doesn't take me to some minor little hiccup. My brain takes me to my house is going to be foreclosed, going to lose everything and be on the streets. I don't know, my brain just jumps right over everything and goes to there. Things happen in your children. I don't know where your brain goes, but my brain left to do its own thing goes to the worst possible things happening to my kids. Amen. Our imaginations. Let me tell you something right now. Living in your brain is a dangerous place to live because that is not where God lives. And if you're being beat up in your thought life and you're being beat up in the mental arena, you are just listening to the devil way too much because God is not in that arena. He's not in the mental arena. That's not where he dwells. He's in the heart, the spirit of man. Amen. Casting down imaginations and every high thing. Now, what's a high thing? I'm going to tell you. That exalts itself against the knowledge of God. What's the knowledge of God? The truth. The knowledge of God is the Word. It says now to get rid of imaginations and also anything that would exalt itself above what the Word of God says. Why? Anything that's not what the Word of God says is a lie, is what the devil's trying to use against you. An imagination of dying from that sickness when the Bible says you're healed. The imagination of going broke and not paying your bills, right? The thought that comes to you, I'm going to be alone the rest of my life. I'll never have this. This is happening to my kids. This and that. Or God coming up with, people have come to me before and said, God told me this. No, he didn't tell you that. That's not what the Word says. I mean, the Word actually says exact opposite. I'll give you an example. Not to continue the Project No talk, but I'm going to continue the Project No talk. There's been times before I've had to correct people, multiple occasions where people have come to me and said, the Lord told me to stop having relations with my spouse. I said, oh, well then you guys must be agreed to go into prayer and fasting because that's the only time the Bible tells you that it's okay to do that. Nope. God told me, apart from prayer and fasting, I'm supposed to take some time off from that. I said, you're listening to the devil. That's demonic. It's against the Bible. Yeah. It's just the truth. And get their thinking straightened out and see in the Word and then receive it. Praise God. Hallelujah. But people, any time that something you're living off of, a revelation, saying things, believing things, that's against the knowledge of God, it's for one purpose, to get you in a stronghold. He wants to wrap you up in a stronghold. And there are people, against the knowledge of God, and bring into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Why? Thoughts left to wander are thoughts looking for a home. What are thoughts? Seeds looking for harvest. Remember my story at our old house on Park Street in Jamestown? Where it's just a little house. What was it, 700 square feet? I mean, it was tiny. And when we first moved in, man, it's still a nice house. I mean, if the Lord said live there forever, I'd be content there, whatever he wants. But thank God he said we could upgrade. And especially with her. Oh, man. She needs room to roam. You don't even know. You don't even know what's going on behind closed doors. And anyways, I move in there, and I notice between, you walk up to the front steps, there's like 3 or 4 steps with like iron railings on the side there, and there's a door, and then there's bushes on the right, bushes on the left, and I noticed as walking up on the left, there's a little little tree plant growing up there. I didn't know what it was. I asked somebody, I said, oh, that's a tree. You need to get that out of there so the roots don't get down into the foundation. Well, it's just a little thing, you know. Could have literally just walked through the bushes there, plucked that thing out, but I didn't. Waited and waited and waited, and I remembered when it was Pastor Tim and his brother-in-law, Matt Wilkins, they pulled up to pick me up for go do something. And they started laughing because all the thing was so nicely manicured and looked good except for this one little tree that's popping up through the bushes. So what is it? Oh, man, that's that tree. I got to get that out of there. And so I said, I'm going to go pull that real quick. And I went over to yank it and almost took me down with it. I couldn't get that thing out of there. Well, what had happened was it continually was getting watered and started to take deeper and deeper roots. And now it's got stronger hold in there than if I would have took care of it when I first saw it. I could have reached out one hand, pluck right from the roots. But I didn't take care of it. And he said to bring every thought captive to the Word or the obedience of Christ. And what do people do? They get a thought that's anti-truth. And Jesus said, be careful what you allow to linger up there. And they think on it. And what's thinking on it? Watering it. What's thinking on it? Letting the sun shine on it. And what's happening? It's grown deeper. People are getting a thought about their bodies. People get thoughts about their situations, about their circumstances, about their kids. And it takes root in them, and now they're in a stronghold of deception. What? There are people in the body of Christ that have taken stronghold thoughts that they'll never be able to speak in tongues. I know a man who's 90-some years old and still talks to Pastor Tim about he's a person that can't do it. It's not for him. And the Word of God says it is. But he's entertained that thought for years and years and watered it. And the devil has him. And for years and years and years, he's gone without that baptism of the Holy Ghost speaking in tongues. Why? He's got such a stronghold. I know people in the body of Christ that are convinced they'll never be off their medication. That their body will never be better. Why? They've listened to those symptoms over and over and looked at the calendar and listened to the doctor's reports and not given heed to the Word. And it's taken root down in there. And it's gripped them so tight. I could say the same about condemnation. I could say the same thing that's happened to people with financial things. Same thing with people with worry over their kids. The devil's got them into a stronghold, and the whole time there's truth on it, but they didn't become one with that. They became one with those thoughts. We need to avoid that, ladies and gentlemen, at all costs. The devil's not just trying to cause you to stumble. He's not trying to cause you to just stub your toe. He wants to destroy your life, get you into doubt and unbelief and fear and worry and anxiety and hopelessness and discouragement and despair. When we as Christians never should live in hopelessness, discouragement, and despair. The only way is if we live out of this. And so our answer is right here, and we'll close with this. It says right here in verse 5, cast down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. Number one, you got to know the knowledge of God. Keep yourself in a place to know the Word. Amen. Keep yourself in a place to know the Word. When you know the truth, a lie stands out. When you know the truth, lies are obvious. Yeah. It's obvious. Kids try to pull one over on you, when you already know the truth, nah. Nah, that's obvious. And for your sake, I'll leave out examples tonight. Just tonight. I got good ones, though. I'll just say it this way. When you know the truth, a lie stands out. Being around the Word will help you know the truth. Amen. When the devil tells you, this is how your body's gonna be, because when you have stuff going on in your body, these are the thoughts you get. This is how your body's gonna be for the rest of your life. If you don't know the truth, because it feels it and the doctors say something, you accept it. If you don't know the truth, but when you know the truth, you say, that's a lie. I remember sitting there after my appendix got ripped out, you know, and they exploded and everything and all that fun stuff happened, and they said, because of this, this is what's gonna happen for the rest of your life. Well, that didn't sit right with me, because that was opposite of what the truth was. But if you don't even know the truth first, lies might sound kind of appetizing at times. Like, I'll take that. I guess that's what I have to receive. So number one, know the truth. Number two, look what it says. Bring into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. You need to funnel. And you might have to be very vigilant. Remember the Bible says, be sober, be vigilant. Because your adversary, the devil. I remember Dr. Dufresne telling the story. He was going through something in his body, and he said it felt like the devil sat on his chest with a machine gun of thoughts. Just, you know how vigilant you have to be to get every one of those thoughts out and deal with every one of those thoughts? I've been there before. I've been there in my body. I've been there in my finances. I've been there with my children. I mean, I haven't even told the full story of Caleb's, of her pregnancy with Caleb, into the delivery and after the delivery, when they came to us after all that had happened and told us he has a hole in his heart. And when he was in the birth canal for over 2 hours, and they're running around and saying things like suffocation and air supply loss, and when I get the call and I'm in the grapes, cutting the grapes, and they're telling her that something going on in her body, and the technician that reads the thing is basically saying, there's no hope. You're going to lose this baby. It's all true, isn't it? It all happened. And the thoughts that come flooding in. And if you don't know truth and you don't funnel those thoughts through the Word, you just be like, well, that's what the professionals are telling me. And your faith goes there. When our faith is used to turn things around, change the natural. But it can never happen if you buy the lies. So at times, if you've given heed to some of these things, you're going to have to be pretty darn vigilant. You think you're worthless and you've been taking that thought for your whole life? Oh, there's some stronghold in you that a lot of truth's going to have to come in to bust that out of there. Just like, I couldn't just pull that thing out anymore. Now we got to hook like a four-wheeler up or my truck with a chain and get some good power behind that to get that thing out of the ground. Why did Pastor Mike Anderson have to listen to a message on condemnation over 1,000 times? Because the roots were so deep. I had taken so many wrong thoughts against myself. I had entertained so many lies that were opposite of the Bible about my future and what God said about me. And it just deeper and deeper and deeper and deeper and getting stronger and stronger. And one little helping of the word was not going to bust that out. I had to hear it over and over and just keep digging and loosening up until finally the day star arised. And my heart and faith was there. No longer was I in condemnation. I told you last week, I've crossed over in some things. Doesn't matter anymore. We got to get there, people. The only thing that matters to us is this. And stop listening to the chatter. Stop listening to the reports. Not that we ignore them. Not that they're not factually based. But they're not truth based. If they don't line up with this, they're evil reports. Not that they're not true factually, but they're evil because they don't line up with this, and this is the final say. Amen. If you're broke here tonight, the Word says you're not. Amen. You have sickness in your body, the Word says you're healed. It's time to start renewing, renewing. Isn't that what this is all about? Renewing the mind. Amen. To restore a car, to renew a car, it doesn't happen overnight. The worse the car, I mean, some of these cars that these... I'll drive by with people that are into that stuff, and they'll see a car sitting in the jing weeds that's full of rust, has no wheels on, and they're like, oh man, what I could do with that car. I'm thinking, what are you seeing? But they see something in it, and they get it, and it takes them forever. But they just keep working at it, because it's so rusty, so bad, the parts are so off, but they take the time on it, and it comes out. And I'm like, wow, miracle. That's how your mind's going to have to be. How far off in the poverty ditch and the sickness ditch are you, of stronghold, the condemnation ditch, the loneliness, all these things, how far into the ditch are you is going to determine how much renewing and renovation you're going to need. Sometimes you just need a little paint job to change things in your house. Sometimes you need to tear the old drywall out and tear the old wallpaper down and replace the studs behind the walls and put brand new drywall up and rip out the flooring and put all new flooring in and all the stuff. It just depends. How bad is it? But it's worth the effort because freedom feels good. Freedom feels good when your body says no, but you still feel free. Freedom feels good when your money says no, but you still are free and as light as a... Praise God. We can get there. Stop listening to the devil. He's trying to hurt us when God's got the truth for us. Amen? Let's pray. Father, thank you for the word tonight. Devil, you are a big fat liar. Glory to God. We thank you, Father. We don't have to wonder what the truth is. You gave us a whole book full of it. You gave us a pastor to help guide us towards the truth. And you gave us the great Holy Ghost. No matter how much the devil chatters and tries to be deceptive, he can never mimic the inward witness. And Lord, maybe we have trouble at times hearing your voice, but that's just because we haven't taken the time to separate. Jesus used to separate to hear from you. Jesus spent much time in the presence of you, Father, and had no trouble discerning what you were saying to him. The only reason we wonder if it's us or if it's the Holy Ghost is because we just haven't taken the time to get in his presence. And if we go back to the word of utterance there in the beginning of the service, if you'll spend time in the presence of the Lord, putting your eyes on Him, I'm not talking about 5 minutes before bed, I'm talking spending extended time in His presence, just focusing on Him in worship, you'll kick yourself over out of that flesh place and into that spirit place, and answers will start becoming clear to you. Where your brain stops beating the heck out of you, where your thoughts stop beating the heck out of you and you start just focusing on your answer, your help in the presence of God and the fullness of joy will be there. And it starts in praise and worship. Why? Coming into His presence, that's how we should approach anyways. and praise and worship. And just stay there in that place until all the thoughts go away. And you can hear from Him and discern what He's telling you to do. Especially for those things where there's no Scripture. Because His voice is just as much Scripture, even though if it's not written. But we got to discern. And yes, this is utterance for people. You want answers? Get into His presence. Get quiet. Stop playing with it in your head. Stop playing pros and cons lists and what ifs and this and that and this scenario. Stop it. He's not there. Your answer's not found there. That's a place of defeat. That's a place of loss. It's in your heart where the answers are. It's in your heart where the direction is. And to get past the flesh and to get past the mind, we got to break through those veils at times. And praise and worship is the best way we can kick ourselves over into that place, by putting our thoughts and our attention on Him and staying in that place till it becomes clear to us, till things become quiet around us. Yeah, that's where the answers are. That's where the help is. So don't be discouraged, be encouraged. He's not playing hide and seek, He's a show and tell God. But just like Daniel, when he needed an answer, when he needed help, he didn't wonder about it. He didn't ask people's opinion about it. He didn't take a popular opinion poll. He got in the presence of the Father and the answer became clear. God was ready to give it out. And I remember something that Pastor Nancy Dufresne says. Thank you, Holy Ghost, for reminding me of that. She asked the Lord one time, you can still bow your heads, we'll still be in the attitude of prayer. She said, Lord, how come sometimes I sense your presence more than other times? Because she was wondering, you know, Lord, you're not different. You said you're the same all the time. You're not a God of dangling the carrot. You're not the God of hide and seek. You're the God that wants to show and tell us. And so she was saying, how come sometimes I can sense your presence? And he said, it has nothing to do with me. It has everything to do with how yielded you are to me. Now get that. He's always ready, willing, and able, and wanting to give you answers. To give you direction. To give you your help. It's the problem is not on His end. The problem is on our end, the yielding. What's it look like to yield? To shut everything else down. And to get into His presence and quiet the noise. But what are we? We're a fast food society, a drive-through society, I want it now society. If it doesn't happen in 5 minutes, I'm leaving that place. And in 5 minutes, when the world's been jumbled in your brain and in your flesh, to push all that out, to think you're going to get it in 5 minutes, you're mistaking yourself. You're not yielded to Him. That's why you're not getting answers. And you leave that place confused, and you leave that place still wondering if it's you or not. But if you'll take time, this is answers from heaven tonight. To get into His presence, to put your focus on Him, to spend time in praise and worship until you press through that veil of the flesh, that veil of the mind, and get into a place where your spirit becomes so clear, one with Him, you'll know the voice of the Holy Ghost. For He says, my people know my voice. We know His voice. We just have entertained the other voices too much and given them first place. So Father, we repent for that. Lord, I repent for that. Personally, I repent for that. I'll endeavor to be more yielded to you, Father. Now, if you need to repent, now's a good time if your pastor's doing it. That you'll be more yielded to Him. That you'll get out of the thinking. Trying to make things happen your own way. And doing things how you think. And how you feel it should be done. And take time with Him. Our answer, our help. Our deliverer. Our standby. Our provider. Our healer. Yeah, that's where the answers are. For I will show you the path of life, for in my presence, that's where it is, the fullness of joy. Because when you know the path of life, that brings joy. When you know the answers, that brings joy, and it's only found in His presence. Let's just take a moment and spend time in His presence through praise and worship. Now's the time to practice. Praise and worship is focusing on Him. What's that mean? Talking about how He is. Calling Him the great I am. Calling Him a deliverer. Worshiping Him for being a healer. worshiping Him for being a provider, for being an answer, for being a help. That's what praise and worship is. It's putting your attention on Him, thanking Him for what He's done, what He's doing, and what you believe He'll do. Getting your attention off your work and off your bills and off the problems and off all the things that are jumbled in your mind and just focusing on Him. That's how you kick yourself over into a place of receiving. We worship You, Master. We praise You, the great I Am, the mighty One of heaven and earth, the God of the universe, the God that made the stars and the planets and the earth and the sun and the moon, the God that put the oceans in their place, the God that set the stars in the sky, the God that parted the Red Sea, the God that delivered from the mouth of the lions, the God that delivered from the fiery furnace. That's who You are. You are the God that raised Jesus from the dead. You are wonderful, and You are mighty, and You are worthy to be praised. And we worship You, Father. We worship You, Father. We worship You, Father. You are our help. You are our answer. We praise You. We glorify You. Eli, buddy, come here. I want to lay hands on you. The Holy Ghost wants to lay hands on you. God wants you to feel better, buddy. Come here, give me a hug. Father, in the name of Jesus, I just thank You, Lord, that Your power right now, from the top of his head to the bottom of his feet, goes into his body. We command this sickness to leave his body. It's trespassing on this child. Devil, take your hands off him. And we command the power of God to go in right now. Now let's just thank Him for this boy's healing. Love you, buddy. You can go sit down with mommy. Hallelujah. We thank You for healing. Thank You for healing. You're the healer. We thank You for that healing, Father. And buddy, your job now, buddy, tonight when you're laying there, say that, thank You, Jesus, for healing me. Thank You, Jesus, for healing me. Can you say that, buddy? Eli, can you say, thank You, Jesus, for healing me? Yeah, every time you cough and you think it, you just say, thank You, Jesus, for healing me, okay? You're going to notice you're going to get better. Praise God. We praise You, Father. You're so good. You're so good. You're so good. Thank You for clarity coming to people. Answers coming to people. Revelations coming to people. Joy coming to people. Peace coming to people. We thank You, Lord. We thank You, Lord. We praise You. Now, this is what you need to do at home. You need to turn the TV off. And what if you said, you know what, that show I usually watch, I'm going to spend an hour just worshiping God. You'd kick yourself over into the anointing. Things start being revealed to you. Clarity start coming to you. Father, we worship You tonight and we praise You. We thank You for a life-changing service. We will take heed to what we hear. Truth is the only thing we give attention to anymore. Yes, and we praise You, Father. We bless You and glorify You. In Jesus' name, everybody said, amen. See you Sunday morning. You're dismissed. Praise God.